Welcome back to the program. I'm Michael Cohen with producer Desi Simmons. Is there life on other planets? Well, who knows, but scientists have recently found planets that are Earth-sized that are orbiting stars similar to our sun. To talk about the latest discoveries, I'm joined by planetary physicist Sarah Seeger. She is a physicist at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, one of 36 scientists on the team that published the newest discovery. Sarah, welcome to the program.
It's great to be here today.
So we've been finding planets that may or may not support life all over the universe. What is the significance of this most recent discovery?
The most recent discovery is the first time Earth-sized planets have ever been discovered. You have to understand that we're making our way through all of the milestones to the Holy Grail, where the Holy Grail is the Earth-like world with life or with signs of life.
Now, why is size significant? Isn't it more important to gauge the distance that the planet is from the star that it's revolving around?
Well, they're both important, but if a planet is big, it must have what we call a gas envelope. It must be filled with a massive atmosphere or envelope. And that mass, you know how we have a greenhouse problem on Earth? Well, imagine if we had a planet with a massive atmosphere, the greenhouse would be too hot. The greenhouse would make the planet too hot for life. So if a planet's big, it would be too big to be rocky like Earth. And in that case, it would have a massive atmosphere making a massive greenhouse.
So how far away are these planets that are Earth-sized?
They're almost 1,000 light-years away from our own Earth.
So they're in a different, certainly in a different solar system, but within the Milky Way galaxy then?
Yes, they're within the Milky Way galaxy, but they're quite far away. And the reason they're far away is because the Kepler Space Telescope is looking at 150,000 stars all at one time. And in order to see so many stars at once, they actually have to be far away. I can explain that further if you want.
Sure. I mean, the whole idea of looking at things so far away, are the actual images that come up, or is it just mathematical data that's calculated?
Well, what they are images of stars, but the stars are just points of light. You know how if you go outside and you look up in the sky at night and you just see points of light? That's what Kepler has seen. And Kepler is looking for a tiny, tiny, tiny drop in brightness. As a planet goes in front of a star, there's a very special signature, and that drop in brightness is basically a part in 10,000. So the chance for a planet to go in front of a star, as seen from the Kepler Space Telescope, is actually very rare. And that's why 150,000 sun-like stars need to be monitored continuously.
That's incredible. So this is a telescope that actually gauges the entire span of the sky and is noticing these very subtle and slight changes.
It's noticing these very subtle and slight changes. But it's not looking at the whole sky. It's looking at one very special patch of sky. And it's focusing on that same patch of sky. And you know what? Every 6 seconds, it's taking an image. So it does the same thing again and again and again for years.
I see. But isn't it missing out on other areas of the sky that it could be looking at?
It is. It is. But, you know, Kepler's goal is to take a census. It's to tell us how common are Earth-sized planets in Earth-like orbits about sun-like stars. And so we will extrapolate to the rest of the galaxy. We'll just say if there are a certain frequency of Earths in that patch of the sky, it should be the same in all the other patches as well.
So these planets that have been found that are Earth-sized planets, are they in fact in I guess they're called habitable zones in terms of their distance from the stars?
These particular ones are not. These first Earth-sized planets discovered with Kepler, they're not in the habitable zone. They're so close to the star, they're way too hot for life. And you know what? It's actually the technique being used, it's easier to find planets close to the star. And because planets are heated by the star, closer to the star means hotter. So what you're seeing here is the easier things, although it's still extremely challenging, the easier planets are being found first.
I'm talking to MIT planetary physicist Sarah Seeger. So how many planets are out there that we think may have the ability to sustain life?
That's a great question. Right now, on this very day, there's no planet we know of that everybody agrees could have life on it, besides Earth, of course. However, our own galaxy, the Milky Way, has over 100 billion stars. And in our own universe, we think there are upwards of 100 billion galaxies. So the chance that there's a planet out there with Earth, or the numbers of planets out there like Earth that could have life, it's just a huge, huge number. We can't even give you the number. We're more interested in eventually finding local other Earths. By local, I mean tens of light years away. And that's a plan that we all have, that many people like me have, to work on for the next few decades.
So let's say we do find a planet through this telescope, and there's an agreement that this is could very well be Earth-like and could have life on it. What would we do next? I mean, these planets are so far from us. Could we ever really be able to confirm that?
Well, in terms of the Kepler planets, we probably can't confirm that they have signs of life anytime in the next decades. But Kepler is a pathfinder, and once Kepler can tell us how common Earths are, how common Earth-sized planets are, then we can make new efforts, new telescopes, to look at the very nearest stars, and we can find the most optimal way to try to find planets around the very nearest stars, which we can try to confirm if there are signs of life.
Is it assumed then by people that work in your field that there is almost definitely planets out there that have life on them, and we just haven't found or confirmed that yet?
Planets are so common, it's really unbelievable. And what Kepler is finding is that smaller planets are even more common than bigger planets. Planets like Jupiter are actually rare compared to smaller counterparts. So we're thinking that planets are so common that there's bound to be life on some of them. Whether or not we can find planets that have liquid water, which is needed for all life as we know it, and also signs of life by looking in detail at the atmosphere, that's a big challenging question that will occupy many people for a very long time. So yes, many planetary hunters believe that there are Earth-like planets with life out there, but how to find it is another question.
Now, other than sheer scientific curiosity, what would be the value to humanity to know for a fact that there are other planets just like Earth out there?
I think that's a question that each individual has to ask themselves. What is the meaning for you personally? I actually have my own idea. One thing about people is you haven't asked me the question I get asked most often, and that question is, can we go there?
My assumption would be no, but tell me if I'm wrong then.
Well, the assumption is not for now, but I think as humans, we're all natural-born explorers, and I really believe that someday in the very distant future, hundreds or 1,000 years from now, people will be traveling to the very nearest star systems. And so what I see is the significance as these are the steps to us collectively being the first generation who first finds the Earth-like worlds that our very distant descendants will someday be traveling to.
There is so much talk about UFOs and aliens, things like that. When you study planets and our galaxy and the universe in depth, does it make those kinds of ideas laughable in the sense that everything is so far away from us?
We like to think there's alien life out there, and you should know that SETI, the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence, they were dormant for a short time. They're back online, and they are specifically targeting the Kepler planets. They are actually going to target the Kepler planets to listen and see if there are alien civilizations purposely beaming radio signals towards us. That's one thing. The second thing is, as for the first time, people are actually contemplating how would you send a probe to a nearby star system. And in fact, there was even a conference earlier this year where people went to and seriously discussed how this might happen. So just the fact that we're discussing that now does really mean that there could be some much more advanced civilization who has solved the problem. Perhaps they hibernate in some way for decades. Maybe they have some way to travel close to the speed of light. We don't really know. What we do know from my own scientific viewpoint is we have no robust evidence that aliens have visited Earth. So we can speculate, and we can speculate that there are more intelligent beings than us out there who have figured out how to travel fast or how to hibernate for the long duration journeys. We just don't have any real evidence that they have visited Earth.
But really, it'll be a huge leap between having a strong conviction that this planet or that planet does have life to actually being able to see that and confirm it, would it not?
Well, there's different answers to that question. One thing, for example, on our own planet, we have a major, major sign of life. And you know what that is? That is oxygen in our atmosphere and also ozone. Many people have heard of the ozone hole. Well, oxygen on our planet should not be in our atmosphere, yet 20% of our atmosphere is filled with oxygen. And that oxygen is produced by life. It's produced by plants and other photosynthetic bacteria. And ozone is a byproduct of oxygen. So if aliens are looking at us from far away without being able to travel here, they will see oxygen being essentially a billion times more abundant than it should be without life, and they may be able to infer there's life. So if we find another planet with oxygen, we won't be 100.0% sure, but with other signs, we can be up to 99. I'm just estimating here, but we would be something like 99.9% sure. So there are ways of being not 100% sure, but being quite certain when we find gases that can only be produced by life.
One last thing with the pace of study and discovery that is now being made. Do you expect a confirmation or at least a scientific agreement that a particular planet that's been discovered does have life and a direct effort made towards that planet within several decades or our lifetime?
Yes, actually, that's one of the other questions I get asked most often is when will we find the other Earth? And this is a technology-driven field. The reason you're hearing so much about exoplanets in the news is the Kepler Space Telescope. It's a $600 million NASA mission. And every time we put a new eye on the sky in astronomy, we find many, many new things. So if we have the money and time to solve the technological challenges to finding an Earth nearby and being able to characterize its atmosphere, to look for signs of life in the atmosphere, then that, you know, from day one when we get the time and the money to do that, it would be about 15 years. And there are a lot of people working hard at trying to find new, cheaper ways to do this so that it can happen in the next 2 to 3 decades or less.
Planetary physicist Sarah Seeger at MIT. Sarah, thank you very much for telling me about this very interesting new discovery.
You're welcome, and great questions.
And we'll be right back with more. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS.